Weren't those good songs?
Amen.
Hadn't heard that first one she sang in a while. I know that's Brother Larry's, one of his favorite. Great songs, great singing. Great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here. And if you're listening this morning on Facebook, we're glad that you're listening. We want to let you know that we are having service, and we'd like for you to be back with us when you can, when you feel like you're comfortable to do so. And we are having Sunday school, as Brother Allen already mentioned. You know, we're going to reevaluate the time. We're probably going to wait a few more months, make sure we get through things clearly before we make any changes, because we don't want to make changes and end up having to change something back. So we want to obviously set the time for the long term that would be best for everybody, that would allow more people to get here. So we are evaluating that and talking about it. Appreciate the church. Appreciate the workers in the church. Appreciate the deacons in the church. We want to encourage the deacons to call your families and let them know that we're having service, you know, and let them know that we miss them and encourage them to get back. Now, I know some people are not comfortable coming back right now, and I understand that. But I don't want anybody to get comfortable staying home and not being in the house of God.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says for us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brother Allen mentioned it. She sang about it. What are you talking about? I'm talking about when Jesus returns. I'm talking about the end of time as we know it. I'm talking about the scriptures being fulfilled, that the Lord comes and he takes his children home to be with him. And that's going to happen one day. You say, well, you know, I've heard about it all my life. I've heard it preached about all my life. And the Bible says over in the book, I think it's in 1 Peter, they said, well, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. In other words, I've heard that talked about. You've never seen it like it is today.
Amen.
You've never seen as much scripture fulfilled as it is today. And I sat there as she sang that song, Peace in the Midst of the Storm, and I was looking out the window, and I was just looking at the tree limbs, and I was looking at the breeze blowing through it, and I was thinking about my relationship with God, and here's what I thought. I don't know how anybody can make it in this world without a personal relationship with God. You know, what do you trust in? What do you put your hope in? Yourself? That's the wrong thing to do. Government? Y'all all ought to laugh at that.
Yeah.
This world? No. My hope and my trust is in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And I want to preach on the subject this morning that God has put on my heart, and I'm going to try to do what God would have me to do. And this is one of those subjects. We're going to have a lot of scripture. So if I read some scripture today, I'll need to read some scripture today. You ever seen a preacher get up and they preach, they call it preaching, they never open the Bible? What are they preaching about? You know, and this is something to understand, and y'all know this. You know it from Sunday school, you know it from a pastor or a preacher or even the deacon and even yourself. A pastor or a preacher is going to preach on two things, his own convictions and his understanding. That's just the way that it is. But it's very important, and I want you to know this, and I talk about this sometimes, that you be led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
No one, no pastor, no deacon, no teacher, no mentor can take the place in your life for a personal relationship with God.
Right.
And to me, it's very important, as yes, I do have some personal convictions, and there is such a thing as a conviction. There is an absolute that's true for everybody, okay? That's a little bit different. Then there's a preference, and we got to be careful about that, that I don't let that interfere and cause me to be something that I should not be, right? But I want to preach this morning on the blood of Jesus. You start talking about something like that this day and time, it's like going back a few years ago. We used to get up in service, we'd talk about being saved. Everybody understood what it meant to be saved. Not everybody understands that today. You start talking about the blood of Jesus and people kind of look at you crossways. You know, they look down over the glass. Now, I can't do that. Y'all all look the same right there to me. But they kind of look at you funny. They say, the blood of Jesus. What are you talking about blood? That's why we're going to have some Bible. Okay, if you've got one of these right here, this is the ultimate authority.
Yes.
It's the Word of God. It's not what I think. It's not my opinion. It's not my preference. It's not even my conviction. It's this. It's the Word of God. And I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus is precious. The blood of Jesus is needful. And as they sang that song, the blood of Jesus is powerful. Now, to get started with the scripture, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter number 9. And we're going to read the 22nd to the 26th verse. Then we're going back to the 13th verse. Now, we're going to read, Lord willing, unless God leads a different way, we're going to read all over the Bible. But we want you to understand what the Bible says. Sometimes people try so much to understand God, an infinite God, with a finite mind. And you cannot. And I want to tell you as a preface before we get into the scripture, and I said it, who do you trust in? He is God, and I am not. He is God, and we are not. And the problem we have today in America is so many people are wanting to have success without God. They want to have peace without God. They want to have everything work out without God. That's why we can believe that we can be successful by taking prayer out of schools and then putting the word of the week up on the billboard sign. Have y'all seen that? The word of the week. And I'm thinking, do you understand the foundation of these words? Do you understand where the foundation for our laws come from? Comes from the Creator. The man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who had a plan, who loved us, who sought us, saw forward of what would be required that we might have life. Jesus. Let's look at Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 22. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For yet that he should offer himself often, the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now let's go back over to the 13th verse in the scripture, the same chapter. It says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats, and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, there's so much here I can't cover it all. So I just want to give you just a couple of things this morning in this, and we're going to have to move. If we understand the Old Testament law is that the priest would make sacrifice for the sins of the people. But he had to keep coming back to do that, and they would choose a lamb without spot, without blemish, the very best. But even in this world, everything is cursed. So even the best is cursed. Even the most beautiful is cursed. But Jesus has said in the end of the world, and you say, well, how long has it been? A little over 2,000 years. Well, look at that compared to time. And you could study time, and you can look at major events that have happened in periods of time, and you can use that even to understand that we're getting close to the return of Christ. But the scripture says, and it teaches, that Jesus Christ walked on this earth without sin. You say, well, I don't believe a man could live without sin. Remember, he's the God-man. He's the Son of God. He became obedient, the scripture says, unto death, even the death of the cross. He took it upon himself to lay aside all that power and be willing to come down. He still had it. Didn't the scripture say that he could have called for 12 legions of angels and they would have come and they would have fought? And he told Satan, he said, but my kingdom's not of this world. And by the way, if you're wondering what that scripture says, the God of this world, that's Satan. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. But he lived here without sin. So when he became the perfect lamb that was given, and he hung on that cross, he truly was the perfect sacrifice. Now, understanding this, I want us to look at where we're at in this world today. Living here in this world, we have an enemy that accuses us daily. The scripture says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10, it talks about the devil, and it calls him the accuser of the brethren. Constantly accusing you, pointing out your wrongs and the things in you and your imperfections. Sometimes, how does he accuse? Sometimes he comes to us. Sometimes he comes through others. I would never want to let the devil use me to accuse or tear somebody else down. You know, if you can't lift somebody up, maybe you want to be quiet. And it's just something that came to my heart and my mind, but I have to be honest with you. If you're going to get on Facebook and you can't encourage anybody and you got to put somebody down on there, I don't care who it is, maybe you want to delete it. Maybe you want to get it off your phone, get it off your Facebook, get it off your iPad. We got an accuser. I don't want to be him. I don't want him to use me. You know why? Because what he does is he comes and he reminds us of our imperfections. He reminds us of the wrongs that we have done. And as he comes to us, he wants to break down our spirits by pointing out our failures and our wrongs and keep us from serving God. He'll point out that you're not perfect and say, you know, you remember what you did. How can you go to church on Sunday? How can you teach Sunday school? How can you be a deacon? How can you serve in church? And if he can get you to quit, then he's getting you to dishonor God. You see, the truth is, he doesn't have to go out and attack a world that's already following him. You say, well, the devil's down at the nightclub. No, no, he's not. Some of his followers are. But I'll tell you where I think the strongest demons of hell concentrate: on you. All the strength, all the power that he has, he's going to come after you to break you down, sometimes by coming at you through the things that you care about the most. It could be through a loved one, through a family member. He could come at you in such a way to cause you to want to be discouraged, because if you dishonor God, he laughs. You see, the truth is, the devil would like to see you in hell. Now, I want you to understand something about the Bible. If you read the Bible, you know the Bible says Satan's got an end. James chapter 2 and verse 19 says this: the devils fear and tremble because they know that there is one God. You go back through the four Gospels and you understand every time Jesus showed up to cast out a devil, those demons knew who he was and they questioned him and said, why comest thou here to persecute us before the time? He said, I'll be back, the song, right? Brother Allen talked about it, been teaching about it, been preaching about it to the youth. He's coming back. The devil knows he's coming back. Do you know that the devil knows he's headed for hell? Amen. He knows he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit, and he's going to be there forever and ever and ever, and he's concentrating all his efforts to see as many as he can go with him. See, what he really wants to do to Christians is he wants to devour you. Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says this: and Peter understood this fully. Remember, we talked about Peter a little bit. I've heard Brother Allen preaching to the youth about Peter. He was saved, but he needed a little sanctification. You know, he needed a little learn how to keep your tongue, learn how to keep your sword, learn how to follow God, learn how to wait before you respond. And the Lord told him this. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, if you look and you understand the life of Peter, he went through some things, but after learning them, what did he write? He wrote this. He said, be sober, be vigilant, Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. How could he write about it? He knew about it. You see, if we remember we have an accuser, here's what I want you to understand. We can resist him. We can. I can't, but not by myself. But I'm bringing this up because I want you to understand some things about the blood of Jesus Christ. You can resist him. Well, you say, how? And I want to tell you what makes the devil run is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will make the devil run, and if you plead the blood of Jesus, you'll have power that's not yours. You see, if you rebuke the devil and you rebuke him in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, he cannot stay. He cannot. Because the enemy cannot stand the blood of Jesus. Why? Because we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7, it says this, in whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. See, when you rebuke the enemy by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, he runs. Some people believe in evil and they believe in the devil. Some people don't. They don't believe in him and he's already got them. But then there are some people that say, the enemy's after me, and I've actually had people call me wanting to know, how can I rebuke the devil? I said, you plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Number one, because the blood conquers. There is truly power in the blood. You see, Jesus has conquered death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 and 57 says this, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus, our Lord, Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 31, the scripture says this, his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. I heard a preacher preaching one time, and he was different. And by the way, y'all know God doesn't call everybody the same. God doesn't want you to be like anybody else, by the way. He just wants you to be the very best that you can be for him. This boy got saved on a college campus, and he said, I was a hippie of hippies. Y'all know what a hippie is. He said, I was saved. He said, this group took me in, and they were trying to, disciple me. And he said, but the problem I had is I was different than them. But I knew God had put a call on my life, and he said, I got up to preach, and I was preaching about death could not hold Jesus, and corruption couldn't even touch him. And he was talking about how Satan said to death, I want you to go wrap yourself around him, and I want you to get a hold of him, because we don't want him slipping out of there now that we've got him. And he said, corruption, I want you to go and get a hold of him, and I want you to just decay his body as fast as you can. And people were looking at me, and he said, well, it's in the Bible. Acts chapter 2:31 says that his soul was not left in hell, and neither did his flesh see corruption. You see, the devil thought for just a little while, he roared and he laughed and he thought he had him. But it was all part of God's plan. Can't you imagine? Death and corruption standing before the devil. And the devil looking at death, and he said, I told you while you had him to hold on to him. And looking at corruption and saying, I told you to just decay him, to make him nothing as fast as you could. And death said, I don't know what happened, but he just slipped right out of my hand. And then corruption, can you imagine what he would have to say? He said, I couldn't even touch him. Because the blood more powerful than anything that the devil has. You see, Jesus has conquered death, and he has also conquered the law. Now, folks, the law matters. But I want you to understand a couple of things about the law. Matthew chapter number 5, verse 18 says this, says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." You know, you can read a verse like that and you can, you know what you'll do, like if you're like me, you'll drop your head. And you'll think, I've tried and I just can't keep all that law. Why did Jesus come? He knew you couldn't be saved by the law. And part of the fulfillment is not in you, it's not in me. Here's what I want you to understand about that. When Jesus came, he fulfilled it in himself because he lived a sinless life so that he could become the perfect sacrifice to go between God and men and be the accepted one. So that when you pray, there's a reason why the Bible says if you ask anything, that you ask it in the name of Jesus, because God the Father accepts his Son. And when you pray in the name of Jesus, he's looking from heaven and he sees you through the veil of his Son, and he sees you just like he sees Christ.
Amen.
Not because of what we've done, but because what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, let's go a little farther and pull that together. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 14, it says this, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us." Now think about it. All those things the devil said, all those things you've been accused of, and let's just admit it, all those things you've done, all those things you're guilty of, all those things you need forgiveness of, all those things that you wish had never happened. The scripture says this, that he took them out of the way and he nailed them to the cross. Everything that I've ever done, past, present, future, through the blood of Jesus Christ, it was nailed to the cross, and the devil cannot do anything about it. You know why? Because it's under the blood. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 13. And it says this, "But now in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Remember, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law. Okay? How was it accomplished in us? It's through Christ. The scripture says he broke down the middle wall of partition between us. You see, the scripture, if you go back to the 13th verse, it says that we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Then in the 15th verse, it says he abolished in his flesh the enmity or the separation, even the law of commandments. You cannot be saved by keeping the law because you cannot be perfect in keeping the law. Do you know, and I've heard this said, and I believe it, and it would be sad, if there could be one person have kept every commandment in the law, would Jesus still have come? Some might debate that. But I've heard said he wouldn't have had to come. Why? Because if one person could have done it, we could do what we sometimes do and say, well, so-and-so, he was able to do it. Why can't you? You know, sometimes we do that now, don't we? We look around and say, well, this person don't have that problem. Why, you got that problem? Truth is, you got problems too. You just don't have them out on the sleeve where everybody can see them. We all have problems. But what Jesus did is he broke it down and he brought us into a right relationship with God through his blood. You see, the blood conquers, and the blood has conquered the enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 5, this says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf, and Jesus conquered the enemy for us. Now, remember, the Scripture says that it took all those handwriting of ordinances that was against us, contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, I want you to see the cross behind me. I want you to imagine Golgotha's hill, Calvary. The blood was on the cross. The blood was on the cross. But there's something different about the blood of Jesus. It was pure blood. It was perfect. It was redeeming blood. And that blood of Jesus, sometimes we have here at Easter, we have the blooming of the cross. I've heard it said, what are you going to bring to the cross? What are you going to lay at the foot of the cross? The blood of Jesus was on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. If you want to flip over there, I want to read a couple of verses. And I want you to see this also, that the blood cleanses. The blood cleanses. Look at verse number 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You might say, well, what are we all going to do? Well, let's go on. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, if we're washed, what are we washed in? We're washed in the blood. Now see, people that have never read the Scripture, this is why I believe to preach this message. This is the way God laid this on my heart. You got to have Scripture. People say, well, if you're washed in blood, how would you be clean? They don't understand the spiritual aspect of it, and they don't understand what God has done for us. We stand in church and we sing this song. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And here it is. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'm going to have to read that again. Are you washed in the blood? It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, remember the accuser, the devil? Now, I'll tell you when the devil's going to come to you. At your lowest, weakest point. You know, I've heard people say, well, I can handle a lot. Okay, expect a lot. But you're going to get down. You're going to have a low moment. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have a burden. And let me tell you something. You're going to have a temptation. I don't care who you are in this building. Every person, you have a virtue. You have a vice. The devil's going to come at you, he's going to accuse you, he's going to condemn you, and he's going to do whatever he can do to discourage you. But when he comes, what do? You point to the blood. You point to the blood when he accuses. You point to the blood when he condemns. Because we're not what we used to be, not because of us, but because of the blood of Jesus. Now here's what I think is very important. You know, the blood cleanses, but I want you to understand that the blood covers. There are people today that don't want nothing to do with God. And it's getting to the point that there is a movement in this country. I mean, it's okay to be religious as long as it don't affect your life. It's okay to go to church as long as they don't preach like I preach. It's okay to go to church if you don't really let the Spirit of God direct your life and it change who you are. But if you do, there's a problem. Because here's what I want you to understand. If this book is true, and this is why a lot of people don't want nothing to do with any of it at all, because if this book is true, guess what? It's true what it says about you.
Yes.
And it's true what it says about me.
Amen.
And I've heard people say, on the other hand, they say, well, you know, I really would like to change, and maybe I really would like to accept Christ, or I might like to be saved, but I just don't believe God would save me. I believe there's been too many things in my life that I've done that I could stand before God. But here's what I want you to understand. The blood covers. What does the blood cover? Everything you bring.
Amen.
Get a hold of this. To me, I don't even understand how someone could be so arrogant as to say that my sin is too big for God. Do you not realize what he did? Do you not realize what he did for you? The blood that was shed, that was given on mine and your behalf for the cross, will cover anything that you have that you bring. But here's the point. You got to bring it. We're in a world today that won't come to God. They won't bow to God. They say, I'll never bow. Oh, yes, you will. That's another message. I may get to that in just a minute. But if you bring it and you put it on this altar, I want you to understand something. I don't care what it is. The blood will cover it. And the blood is enough that the devil cannot uncover it.
Amen.
The principle is in James chapter 5, verse number 19. It says this. Good stuff in the book of James. He said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. You see, I want everything covered by the blood. I want you to understand the principle, but I want you to see a picture. We're going to go over to Genesis chapter number 9, and we're going to read just a couple of verses starting in the 20th verse. This is about Noah. Great preaching in this verse that says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Built that ark. Took a long time. Saved his household. That ark landed up on that hill. Noah got out there and he built a vineyard. You know, just because you've come through a great victory and God's used you, don't mean you can't fall. Doesn't mean you don't suffer temptation. You're just a person. You're just a man. You're just a woman. Noah got over there, and the scripture says in the 20th verse that Noah began to be a husbandman and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. Noah, the one that built the ark. And it says, and he was uncovered within his tent. That means he was laying in his tent naked, drunk. And it says, and Ham, he had three sons. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And he told his two brethren without, on the outside of the tent. Says, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now, I want you to see some things in this right here, because it goes right along with a connection to the scripture in James chapter number 5. Understand the principle, but see the picture. If you understand the Hebrew, when Ham came in, it said he saw. That word in Hebrew is reah. And here's what it means. It means to look with pleasure. He saw. He looked with pleasure. And then he went out and told. That word told is negad. And it means to tell with delight. Now, folks, that's what the devil does. He looks with pleasure and he tells with delight. It's all how he preached to us and built that altar for 120 years. But y'all need to come look at him. Be careful. Be careful. The Bible says to receive not an accusation against an elder except in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Can I tell you, God's called none of us to be a police. He knows how to take care of his own. Ham went out and he told his brothers, and they heard it and they understood and they had respect for their father. And the scripture says that they took a blanket and they laid it upon their shoulders and they walked backwards to where their father was, and they let it fall over him without looking at him out of respect for him. I want you to understand something. This, my friend, Old Testament, New Testament connected, is a picture of grace. It's a picture of the covering that God has for you. Well, how does that work? Let's keep going. We got a little bit more. Ephesians, let's go back to Ephesians chapter number 2. And let's connect this. The fourth verse says this. But God, aren't you glad for that? I was in trouble, but God. I was headed in the wrong direction, but God. Says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, that means made alive, together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. That means those religious that said you'll never get in because you're not a Jew. Remember, he hath made both one. And he's grafted us into the vine. Aren't you glad for God's grace? In the flesh, made by hands. That at that time... you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But listen to the 13th verse. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, the blood of Christ is a covering. And it's a covering for all of my sin. Here's what I want you to understand. Well, who's covered? What's covered? What's covered? If you're saved, you're covered. When you're accused, if you know Christ, you're covered. When you're judged, imagine standing in judgment. It horrifies me to think of standing in judgment and every little thing that I've ever done coming up on a big screen. It's not going to be that way. Not for the Christian. Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the bonds of sin and death. I'm covered. If you're saved, you're covered. You're going to have some failures. They're covered. You just need to come talk to the Master. You need to come let God. Sometimes you know what we need to do. We need to come and, you know, repentance is necessary. People don't want to hear about it. They don't want you talking about it. They don't want you to preach about it. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes there ought to be some tears on the altar. There might need to be some on the couch. There might need to be some on the carpet in the den, because you're going to have failure. But if it's under the blood, it's already covered. It's like this. God looked forward and he paid a debt ahead of time on your behalf. But he loved you and he knew everything you'd ever do when he first invited you into his family. That's why sometimes I see people, sometimes, and I don't understand why Christians do this. Y'all have heard the term, they kill or wounded or shoot them. Now, folks, I'm not that way, and it's not that way in this church. When somebody fails, and they're called a preacher, they're a deacon or a teacher, and people say, well, God can't use them anymore. Let me tell y'all something. God knew that before he ever spoke their name. And all it takes is repentance. They've got to come back to an altar, be willing to admit, I'm wrong, and ask forgiveness for God, and he can restore them. Because the scripture says this, the gifts and the call of God are without repentance. Question is, are you covered? I've had people tell me in this church, God be dealing with them, and they'd come, and I'd be glad to see them. But they wouldn't move. And they'd come back and we'd talk sometimes. And they'd say, you know, I might want to come get saved, but I just don't think God saved me. Ain't nothing that you've done the blood can't cover. I mean, God can handle it. I think of this verse often when I hear people talking about all the knowledge of man, all that man's done, how simple this gospel is. Very simple. Heard Ravi Zacharias, he was debating with some college professors. He's in heaven now. And they were talking about the vastness and the universe and how all the things, you know, so many galaxies out there. And time and space and distance, all the things we don't understand. And they were trying to throw things on him with all of their knowledge and their wisdom. And the Bible says this, that in the last days, what? They would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And Ravi Zacharias, he looked at him and he quoted the verse, simply said, the book of Genesis. And he made the stars also. He just spoke them into existence. You know, he did all that vastness by saying he made the stars also. But here's what I want you to understand, and we're going to get Miss Melissa to come sing. He did something special. He loved you enough that he personally came on your behalf. And they gave his blood as a lamb without spot, without blemish, to cover everything you would ever bring to him. The only thing that's not covered, again, is what you don't bring. The only person that won't be in heaven with you and me is those that say, I just don't believe that. I've even heard people say, well, I don't want to go. Well, folks, I do.
Amen.
And I'm going.
Amen.
I got a question for you this morning. Very simply, as Miss Melissa comes, are you covered by the blood of Jesus? You know him, you're covered. That's something to thank God for this morning. Ask if you would, as she gets ready to sing, would you please rise to your feet? The altars of Hiram First Baptist Church are open. Most important decision you will ever make in your life is to accept Christ as your personal Savior. It's more important than your career. It's more important than where you work. It's more important than your finances. It's more important than who you marry or don't marry. Do you know Jesus? And if you know him, and you're living in America in 2020, and you're like me, you need him.
Amen.
There are times that, I just need to talk to God. I just go to him, and maybe you need to go to him this morning. Here's what's great about this church. These altars are open, and you can do that. So if God spoke to your heart as she sings this song, if you'd like to move, you can come. And I'll say this also, if you're here and you want to be a part of this church, you want to join Hiram First Baptist Church, we take members two ways. We take them by statement of faith and by baptism. We don't write other churches for letters. That's all you got to do. If you've been baptized, you don't have to be rebaptized again. Baptizing don't save you. It's just an outward show of an inward change of what God has done on your behalf. If you just come down and make that known, we'd be glad to have you as part of this church. Yeah. Most important, what's God saying to you this morning? What do you need from him? Come and get it this morning as she sings. Amen.
though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn.
Oh, becoming more like Jesus feels like dying deep inside. And I guess sometimes that's truly what it is. for he's calling me to lay aside my selfishness and pride, so he can mold my heart and make it more like his. And lately I've been seeing more each day the wisdom and new wonders of his grace. Just as I am, I ran to him and mercy took me in. Just as I am, and he forgave my sin. All the way he's changing my heart proves that he loves me too much to leave me just as I am.